Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Everyone is annoyed by something. That's how Flora Lichtman and NPR science correspondent Joe Palca introduced their new book, Annoying, The Science of What Bugs Us. To our listeners, tell us what it is that annoys you and tell us how you have learned to cope with that, if you have. Give us a call at 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. So there's a reason, a scientific reason, for that special feeling of annoyance, according to the book. Joining us today is going to be Joe Palca. He's going to join us in a few minutes to tell us more about the science behind what bugs us. What bugs you? Give us a call and let us know what bugs you at 614-292-8513. Probably wouldn't surprise you to know that the same sorts of things tend to bug people the same way. There's a chapter in the book devoted to the cell phone conversation, the one-sided cell phone conversation, for example. There's references to people who drive slow in the fast lanes, things like that. It's not unusual to be bothered by something. But what is interesting about the book is that Joe Palca and his co-author look to science to explain it. And what I want to know from Joe Palca is, can science help us cope with the irritation? There's been a little holdup right now, a little technological glitch. We're trying to. Joe, are you there?
Ann, is that you?
Joe, they were telling me you weren't on. So I was kind of.
Well, I wasn't on, but I thought you were doing a great job.
You know what irritates me, Joe?
Yeah, I don't even have to start. I know the answer to that question right away.
Welcome to the show, Joe Palca.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I thought,
by the way, you picked the beautiful opening music. I was trying to think why that was so annoying. And so you've hit the nail on the head. We're off to a great start here.
Yeah, well, you try to inject a little humor into it. And that's something I want to talk about later. But first of all, yeah. I wondered, I would say, do the same things annoy everyone or mostly everyone?
It's a funny question to answer. We decided that there are only a very, 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 very few things that are universally annoying because annoyances are so idiosyncratic. In fact, I wrote in the book, the conclusion was that according to the International Program Center of the U.S. Census Bureau, the total population of the world projected at September 24th, 2010, at 1932 Greenwich Mean Time was 870,906,129, which means that there's more than 608 billion opinions about what's the most annoying thing in the world. The ones that are universal seem to be things like fingernails on a chalkboard. Nobody seems to like hearing that, and it seems very annoying. The one we picked out particularly that seems to be a modern universal annoyance is other people talking loudly on their cell phone.
When you can't hear the other side of the conversation,
right,
the one-sided,
right.
Yeah.
But after that, there's a perfect example about the delay getting connected. For the audience, they don't mind. I mean, they're just listening to you talk. It's fine. That's okay. But for you, it's annoying because you have to fill air and don't know when it's going to stop. And that's one of the hallmarks of what's annoying. Things that you can't predict, you don't know how they're going to last for, and they're unpleasant in this case because you're flying without a net sort of thing and having to talk into the air.
That was an interesting insight for me when I was reading the book, that it's the unpredictability, it's kind of that feeling of loss of control.
Yeah, yeah. Although, the thing here is, I have to tell you, we've thought a lot about this. So we've made some statements about what's annoying in this book and what we think is annoying. But, the truth is that this is not an academic tome or treatise. This mm-hmm. is a couple of science journalists looking into a question that hasn't really been addressed by science. So it's hard for us to be wrong because there's nobody out there studying this to say we're wrong. But it's also hard for us to be right because we haven't actually collected very much data My background goes back to psychology, and I really did feel, I have a PhD in psychology, and I really did feel like I was back in graduate school at some points, you know, sort of doing research and thinking about how you set up a study and like that. But we didn't actually do the studies, you know, we just talked about them.
So how does science figure into all of this then?
Well, while there is no... So the field by itself, I mean, the study of annoyance doesn't exist. There's all sorts of things that bear on annoyance. I mean, certainly we can talk about psychology as one, why people get irritated. We found that certain diseases like Huntington's disease tends to make you more irritable as the symptoms begin to appear. Certain sounds, the frequency of certain sounds seem to be universally annoying. Certain chemicals in compounds, sulfur chemicals in compounds that make them smell bad. And so you begin from the physical sciences and the psychological sciences to build up a set of things that all bear on annoyance, even though none of them were specifically, and nobody starts out studying skunk spray in order to find out why it's annoying. They start to study it to find out why it smells bad.
Do we physiologically, do all of us tend to respond in the same way when we're annoyed? Does our blood pressure go up or something like that?
Again, a perfectly reasonable question. We tried to get someone to sit down and talk to us about the steps of being annoyed. But again, because there's no well-defined circumstance, I mean, it's hard to make a universal statement about what's annoying and then decide when the person is adequately annoyed to measure his or her physiology. So there's a lot of problems in doing this kind of research. And so the answer is we don't really know. I'm just guessing, as you would, from my own background, that you would expect people's blood pressure to go up slightly, their heart rate to increase, their galvanic skin response to change. That's how much sweat they're putting out onto their palms. You know, it's things like that. Their pupils might dilate. You can usually, it's not too hard to tell usually when someone's getting annoyed. So there's some signals that they give off that are measurable.
My guest is Joe Palca. He's NPR science correspondent. He co-wrote a book with Flora Lichtman. It's called Annoying, The Science of What Bugs Us. And if you haven't heard of Joe before, I'll give my little pitch about Joe now. Since joining NPR in 1992, he's covered a range of science topics, everything from biomedical research to astronomy. And you might recognize his voice. He occasionally fills in as guest host on Talk of the Nation Science Friday. 614-292-8513 if you want to give us a call and tell us what annoys you. And how do you control it? And Kathy and Canal Winchester, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. The one thing I think that bugs me most is when you're talking to someone and you're telling them how you feel or you're explaining something, and they just start talking right over the top of you, and it just negates what you're saying. To me, it's just like them telling me that I'm not important. What I have to say is not important. They really don't want to hear it. And this happens occasionally, and same reaction. I just feel like, oh, yeah, I wasn't done talking to you. And they just, you know, they just talk right over the top of you. And I had a friend that I used to work with, and I asked him one time, why do you do that? And he says, because I've got a thought, and I'm afraid I'll forget it.
Did that make you feel better?
Yeah, well, I gave him a hint. I said, you know, if you've got something you want to say, I said, and I don't know where I heard this, but years ago, somebody said, put it on your finger. Put it on your finger and hold it there. And then when the chance comes up, the time arrives, it's right there on your finger. Just retrieve it, and then you'll remember it. And I've done that for years. I'll go to the grocery store, and I'll have three or four things I want, and I'll put them on my phone. Okay, I got cottage cheese in here. Yeah, milk here. And and it works. It's a psychological thing, but it works.
Well, you help somebody.
Yeah, but I told him, I said, do that. I don't know if he has because I don't work there anymore. But that just always just makes me crazy. You know,
I'm afraid to interrupt you, Kev. But thank you for that call.
Okay,
take
thank
care.
You.
Joe Palca, you write that most annoyance falls into four basic categories. I wondered if you could talk about those categories.
Oh, gosh, the four basic categories.
Uncouth.
Those, yes. Well, that's what I think we were talking about, Michael Cunningham's research. or maybe I'm talking about,
it's uncouth habits, inconsiderate acts, intrusive behaviors. What's the next one?
Yeah, I don't think we were trying to be exclusive to those four.
Okay, it's just one person's theory about.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the thing that we just heard is I've been trying to go through and analyze what kinds of things I've been trying to come up with better categories actually for why things or what categories there are for things that are annoying, and I think that it's pretty clear that what we just heard was a violation of manners. People have a certain set of manners that they expect you to live by, and when those are violated, then they feel annoyed. Another category that I've come up with is things that are somewhat unsafe, like a driver who might be following too closely. That has to do with safety. It's not just annoying in the sense that they're behaving in a way you think is bad manners. They're behaving in a way that's potentially dangerous. Then there's another one that has to do with hygiene. And that's the category of things that drive people nuts, like people who clip their fingernails in public or floss their teeth in public. Somehow that seems to really bother people. And there's another category which I think we kind of got close to with the last call, and that is things that aren't so much annoying in and of themselves, but reveal something about the person who is annoyed. And let me see if I can explain that. I mean, if you're a wonderfully comfortable person, like I am, of course, in my skin, and I'm talking and you interrupt me, I just talk over you and wait, you know, make you shut up. But if I feel hurt and bad about it, then maybe I'm insecure, and maybe it's telling something about me that the annoyance is caused by more than it's something intrinsic about the annoyance that's being perpetrated.
We're going to take a short break, and when we return, Joe Palca will be there, and we will get to some of those calls. And if you want to email us, you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.
Start your day with local updates from the award-winning WOSU News team.
The California-based company Calla Solar plans to open a manufacturing plant later this year and possibly at the former GM stamping plant near Mansfield.
Just going to be a boon for not only Ontario but for Richland County and even areas beyond.
Hear the latest in local and national news on Morning Edition on 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station.
And this is 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us for All Sides with Ann Fisher. 81 degrees and sunny in downtown Columbus. Sunshine for today and a high of 88. There's a slight chance of showers tonight, a low of 69 degrees. A chance of showers and thunderstorms Saturday morning, and then sunny in the afternoon and warm, a high of 92. Partly sunny for Sunday, a high of 87. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides. My guest is Joe Palca, NPR science correspondent and co-author of a new book. It's called Annoying, The Science of What Bugs Us. If you have something that really bugs you, anything but this show, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go on to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and post your comment there. Joe, in the conclusion as well, you get to the issue again, as you do in the beginning of the book, about the idea of distraction and how that plays into the issue of cell phone use and the one-sided conversation. How does that work?
Well, the interesting thing about cell phones is that, as you said, you're only hearing one half of the conversation. And what's become increasingly clear in the recent decades as psychologists have been probed how we listen to things is our brains want to fill things in. I mean, it's not just like we're waiting to hear what the next word is. our brains are sort of predicting what the next word is. And when we're right, that has a good feeling. And when we're wrong, there's a certain dissonance or discordance, and that doesn't feel right. But with a cell phone, the conversation stops, and then you're predicting something, but there's nothing coming. Now, if you're on the phone, obviously you listen to the other side of the conversation, mm-hmm. and your brain starts to fill that in. But when you're not hearing it, you're sort of in this uncomfortable void, and then something comes back in, and it's maybe totally different than what led you into listening in the first place. And so the fact that you can't... you listen to predict, and you can't help listening, but you can't predict. And that seems to be what's annoying, because researchers who just played, you know, people speaking in a foreign language. So here's a situation maybe where if they're speaking in Czechoslovakian and mm-hmm. you don't speak Czech, well, it doesn't matter. It's just noise to you. So it doesn't draw you in. But if you do speak Czech, you're having the same problem. You're trying to fill in. So it's not just the sound, although that can be annoying with some people's voices. But it's something about the content that draws us in and then leaves us hanging. And actually, Mark Twain wrote about this when he was standing next to somebody using the brand new telephone, that he heard one half of a conversation and thought that was terribly annoying.
So it's not just the cell phone generation. It's the concept's been around for a long time.
Yeah. I just think it's become ubiquitous because, you know, you used to be able to have a little privacy when you were on the telephone and it was anchored to the wall someplace and you could walk away. But now the person with the cell phone can follow you and keep talking. Leave me alone.
Stacy, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. I wanted to get to you because you don't like to wait in line, so I don't want to put it off too long.
No, I don't like to wait in line. Going shopping, it's not just like Black Friday shopping, just any kind of waiting in lines in stores, my heart starts to pound and, you know, I get hot and flustered and like lightheaded and have to go to the bathroom, and it's just like I want to put down everything that I've got and run out of the store.
Wow. And so why? I mean, I'm curious, why do you think that is? Because you know they're part of life. You're not going to go to a store that doesn't have a line in it, or do you shop in the middle of the night sometimes to avoid that?
I try uh-huh. to sometimes. No, I know it's a part of life, and I'm a social worker, and I know, you know, the coping skills to use and how to go from there, but it's just something about waiting in line that just, if I have to wait too long, I get really annoyed, and then I start to have a panic attack.
Huh. So how about if the line is moving slowly and you can sort of see that it's taking a few minutes per customer, but you can sort of back time to how long it's going to take you and say, well, I know this will be over in X amount of time?
If it's moving slowly, I'm better. If it's like a standstill and there's like tons of people around, complete meltdown.
Yeah. Well, that's actually the reason I asked is that you've hit on one of the other key features of what makes things annoying, and that is you don't know when it's going to end. I mean, if you know that you're going to have to wait in line in 5 minutes, I mean, you know, there's some of these places that say when you're on the phone and it says your average wait time is 2 minutes, you know, and you think, okay, I'm going to have to put up with this for 2 minutes and I can deal with that. But it's this uncertainty. And then you think, and then this is where you get in, this is where it gets terminal, where you say, you think about exploding. So you think, okay, I know it's going to take a while. I shouldn't be annoyed, but I am annoyed. Why am I annoyed? I'm annoyed with myself for being annoyed. And then you're finished, because then it just blows. It's recursive.
Cycle.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right. And so it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Now, the question that naturally springs to mind is, after all this research, did we figure out a way to help people who are stuck in this situation deal with these annoyances? And I have to tell you that the answer is probably not. I mean, I can tell you tricks, but as you say, you probably know them. One of them that we do is we try this thing called cognitive restructuring, where you say, okay, you know, times are tight in America and people can't hire enough help. And that's why the lines are so long, because we, you know, the store's on the edge financially and we just have to be patient because it takes a long time and our economy is getting back on track and we're all part of the solution and blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, that might work. It doesn't usually, but it might. And another one is is to carry something with you that's just totally distracting. Like, I started playing a game last night that I just downloaded onto my iPad, and I mean, you could have put me in a room with, I hate lines too, so I'm totally there with you, but you could have put me on line, and I would have been delighted because I was playing this game, I wouldn't have even noticed the line. So if you want to use a modern device to sort of get your, you know, something on some game or checkers or something you can play on your cell phone or handheld device, maybe that's the way. You just ignore it, you know, distract yourself. We call it, in a way, it's a kind of inattentional blindness where, I don't know if you know, there's this famous experiment where subjects are told to watch a scene where these people are passing a basketball back and forth to one another. And the trick in the scene is to only look at the basketball and tell how many times it was passed from one player to another. And when people are concentrating really hard on that, they don't notice that a gorilla actually walks into the middle of the playing area and waves at the camera and walks out. And I'm telling you, if you haven't seen this, and now I've ruined it for you and probably
no,
a lot
no,
of other people.
Seen it.
I've seen it too.
But you cannot believe, I've done it to people who didn't know about it, and they just refuse to believe that there's a gorilla there, and then they look, and sure enough, there was. So one of what we take from that is you can distract yourself or focus your attention so much on something else that you tend to ignore or miss the thing that's annoying you. It's worth a try.
I will definitely give that a try. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Stacy.
You're welcome.
All right, bye.
Bye. Haley in Westerville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I was just calling. One of the things that annoys me the most is when I am on the telephone and I can hear, like the other person that I'm talking to, I can hear their TV in the background or their radio is really loud. I find that I can't even focus on the conversation if I can hear like their TV, or I would even go so far as to say, if I can hear them doing something like their laundry or banging things around or crinkling a bag or something, I'm always like, what are you doing? I can't talk to you right now.
Yeah,
it's funny that we laugh at this guy.
Well, so just to back up for a second, that's actually another thing that we seem to find the experience of something annoying as annoying, but the observation of something that's annoying is kind of amusing. And in fact, one of the paradoxes is that people seem to really love to talk about what annoys them. I mean, you know, I'm with you about hearing stuff in the background. I find, and this is just the problem, again, problem with me, if I'm sitting in a restaurant or a bar with somebody and there's a television playing in the background, I just have a really hard time not looking at the television. And I think that must be really annoying to the person I'm with. But I don't know what it is. And yeah, I think it goes back to the first caller about people not honoring you with their full attention when you're talking to them. And that's sort of like dissing you, I suppose, that you feel like if they're, I mean, don't tell anyone, but I've played, oh God, I hope my mother's not listening. I've played solitaire on the computer while I've talked with her. And
well, you can multitask is all.
Yeah, that's the positive way of looking at it.
Well, listen, Haley, thanks a lot for your call.
All right, thank you.
Take care. You're listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is Joe Palca. He's an NPR science correspondent and also a co-author of a new book, Annoying, The Science of What Bugs Us. You can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org if you want to send us a message, give us a hint about what bugs you. Mm-hmm. We have an email from a listener. They write, as a social scientist who has studied history, I get annoyed by things such as the editorial cartoon in the Columbus Dispatch this morning that indicated that the founding fathers all agreeing that very limited government was best, when obviously that was not the case with OK Federalists such as George Washington, John Adams, and John Marshall. Opinions that people have. People get very annoyed when someone writes something that they disagree with, when they hear something they disagree with. Politics, it can be very annoying to a lot of people.
I'm thinking also there's a quality here of accuracy, mm-hmm. because I think that one of the one of the things that I find annoying is when people have firmly held beliefs and then they say something that that fits with what they believe but isn't quite correct. And I feel, in fact, one of the things I do in my job is when people, you know, when I'm talking about a polarizing debate, you can talk about it as stem cell research, or you can talk about it as evolution. There is all sorts of reasonable points of view, no matter which political or religious or socioeconomic point of view you're looking at this from. But there are still a few objective facts, and it's when you start steering away from the facts. So in this case, the editorial columnist is making a political point, which is fine. And, you know, you may think of big government or small government. But the author who's a historian, I mean, the commenter who's a historian is saying, look, I mean, it's fine to have this small government idea as best, but let's not mischaracterize what most historians think about the nature of the founding fathers. And so it's that, again, that is something that I think people find annoying because it's incorrect. Now, maybe again, maybe, as I say, maybe it's a reflection on me. Maybe other people aren't as bothered by this. And so it's more, tells more about who I am than what things are annoying.
You quoted a Stanford professor as defining annoyance as mild anger. And I was wondering how you would define annoyance and whether or not your definition has changed as you prepared and wrote this book.
It has somewhat. One of the things we've been trying. I mean, there's anger, there's frustration, there's a bunch of similar emotions that seem to overlap with annoyance. I think the difference is, in my mind, that annoyances are never life-threatening. So the worst annoyance is never going to get to life-threatening, whereas other things, that they tend to have a top end of something else, which can be life-threatening. These tend to be minor, and I think that's why they're overlooked. I mean, it's a small thing that's bothering you, not a big thing. And in that sense, they're easier to cope with. I think the other thing that we've thought about is the evolutionary value of being annoyed, because evolution seems to play into everything. But if you think about it, I mean, there are times when it's healthy or helpful to either be annoyed or be annoying. And I'll give you two examples. One, when a baby is screaming its head off, after a while that becomes annoying and you want to do something about it. And that's a survival instinct for the baby, because it needs someone to pay attention, whether it's hungry or it needs a diaper change. It needs some attention. So in that case, its annoying qualities are actually helping it survive. Turning that on its head, if you find the odor of skunk annoying, that's probably a good thing, because, you know, being coated with that is going to be nasty. And so if you want to get away from something that's annoying, it's sort of like a noxious stimuli. And so getting away is probably a good idea. And so our ability to sense things in the environment that are not deadly but annoying are probably a good thing for our species.
614-292-8513 if you want to give us a call and talk with Joe Palca. We're talking today about, guess what, being annoyed. Uli, you're on the air from Delaware. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. What bugs you?
Eating noises. Lip smacking,
oh, wow.
Crunching. Oh, my Lord. So annoying.
Yeah. Well, that goes into that category I was saying about hygiene. It's something about, you know, things dribbling out of someone's mouth when they're eating, you know. And in fact, you should go look on our website, because Flora is a terrific videographer and video producer,
yeah.
And she made this video of all the things we could, not all the things, but several things that we could think of that were annoying. And one of them is her just dipping her hand into a big bag of potato chips and eating really noisily and going, it just drives you nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is it psychological? Is it because it's intruding on my private space, my ears?
I think there's an intrusion there. I mean, I think that we could go all out and say, well, there's a chance that some deadly germ will fall on you from somebody spraying fomites out of his mouth. But I don't think we have to go quite that far. Mm-hmm. I just think that our sense of good hygiene sort of says, you know, things shouldn't be spilling from you when you're taking them in or letting them out. You should be in control of the process. I think losing control can be irritating for people.
I can't eat dinner with some people. They're too unpleasant.
yeah. Well, and it's hard because you can't really say you're being really annoying in the way you chew. I mean, you know, that's okay to say to an 8-year-old, but a 40-year-old, it's a little tricky to start that conversation.
Thank you, Uli.
Thank you.
You talk about the differences, Joe, between things that annoy us, that slight acquaintances do, versus things that annoy us, which loved ones, friends, and coworkers do. And I was wondering how all these differ.
Well, I think the loved one packs more punch. Because when we're out in the world, we have a little bit of our Teflon armor on, and we're expecting to have a certain number of minor assaults on us all day long, and so we sort of rather than walk around in a snit 24/7, which I guess some people do, we sort of learn to shake things off or not let them get to us. But when you're getting it from someone, I mean, some of the calls have referred to this, you know, somebody that you love, somebody that you care about, somebody that is important to you is doing something that you've asked them not to do, and they keep doing it. What can you imagine would be more annoying and making you feel bad, frankly? I think that is something, it's that personal sting. And it's what parents are so good at doing to their children, and I suppose children are doing to their parents and spouses to their partners. They know what buttons to push when they want to annoy somebody. And sometimes, you know, you can't help feeling that there might be an intentional quality to it, even if I'm a protest to the contrary.
614-292-8513. If you want to give that call a punch, that number a punch, then we will pick it up and talk to you. And Kathleen from Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Well, this is so funny. I'm really enjoying this conversation. And thank you for taking my call, Ann.
You're welcome.
Joe, I just get such a kick out of the personal things and about people who I say should know better, but obviously don't know or don't care. And in that, putting ice in your drink when it's cold iced tea from the refrigerator line of people who know you well, I'm a widow, and I get things addressed to me by close old friends as Mrs. Kathleen instead of Ms., because to address someone as Mrs. Kathleen connotes that they are, or denotes, that they are divorced. Whereas if you say Ms. Kathleen in my last name, then it's whatever. But if you say Mrs. Kathleen so-and-so, it says Mrs. is divorced from the Mr. Don't ask me why, but an old British lady told me this. Yeah, an old British lady told me this when I wrote her a note thanking her for something. And she said, you know, I was Floss so-and-so, and my husband was Alfred. But if you address me as Mrs. Floss Pratt, it connotes that I am divorced from my dead husband.
So now that bugs you?
Not. Yeah, it bugs me because I'm not divorced at all. I had 35 wonderful years with this man, and he died. And I'm not divorced.
Boy,
it's just a little personal thing. But do you know, I'm sitting here listening to you all playing Bejeweled on silent. So the thing
That's
about
perfect.
You talking to your mom, playing solitaire on silent. That is just, it was, I was sitting here going, oh my God.
Very good, Kathleen.
That's a good
one. This is a fast fascinating conversation. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call.
You're very welcome.
We have to take another break right now, so stay with us. When we return, we'll continue our conversation with Joe Palca and get some more of those calls. We'll be right back. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.
Previously on Car Talk.
Ever since then, people have just been making fun of me.
Ryan, yeah. You have a sympathetic ear.
So basically, I got talked into this, what they called an engine shampoo.
What are you, some kind of a joke?
Wait, whatever that sympathetic ear that I was just promised.
Join us for more keen yet sensitive analysis this week on Car Talk.
Car Talk tomorrow afternoon at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us for All Sides with Ann Fisher today in 20 minutes at 11. All Sides Weekend begins with host Marilyn Smith and a discussion of the best food and restaurants in Central Ohio. Join us for All Sides Weekend at 11.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Columbus Jazz Orchestra. The sixth season of Jazzoo kicks off Friday, July 8th with Red, White, and Blues featuring Kevin McGuire at the Columbus Zoo. Gates open at 6:30 with showtime at 8. Tickets and more details at jazzartsgroup.org.
A sunny day today in Central Ohio, currently 81 degrees. We're going to go up to about 88 or 90 today. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 70, and then sunshine for Saturday and a high of 92. Looking ahead to Sunday, partly sunny and a high of 87. And All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides. We're talking about what annoys you. My guest is Joe Palca. He's written a new book, Annoying, The Science of What Bugs Us. And Aaron, I just... can't wait to hear from you, Erin. Hi.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Fine. Tell Joe what bugs you.
Deep breathing.
No, you said, it said heavy breathing. It's a big difference.
Well, deep and heavy breathing,
okay.
I guess. Heavy, you're right. Heavy breathing.
In what context?
In many contexts. I'd say over the phone, if somebody's kind of, you can hear they're somewhat kind of strange and...
So sort of this kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, a little scary. Well,
sometimes we get those on the show. And
yeah.
I know. That's, well, sometimes you're supposed to do that when the doctor wants to listen to your chest. Well, again, why does this annoy you? Well, I'm not sure. But I think it falls into this hygiene category again of things that seem like, you know, it's a bodily function that you don't need to advertise. Most people can breathe quietly. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that if somebody's breathing heavily while you're talking to them or to him or her, it sort of suggests that maybe they're, you know, nodding off and that they're thinking that something else is going on. Or to get into Anne's suggestion of heavy breathing, that maybe they're doing something more interesting than talking to you when they're breathing heavily.
Yeah.
Thank you, Erin.
Thank you.
In chapter 3, Joe, I think it's the title Fingernails on a Chalkboard, but there's actually a ranking of sounds from pleasant to unpleasant. And I don't know whether heavy breathing falls into that ranking, but it starts with chimes.
Yeah, well, this research was trying to look into whether or not, you know, how people would rank various sounds. And I think this was the work that won the Ig Nobel Prize for this guy. there are certain things that, actually, it brings up an interesting question. Chimes was rated the least annoying of the various sounds. The other ones on the low end of the annoying scale were running water and jingling keys and a pure tone. And then it starts to get more annoying with pencil sharpener and shaking metal points. And then right at the most annoying was rubbing two pieces of styrofoam together and then scraping a slate with a garden tool, which was his way of coming up with a sound of the fingernails on a blackboard in a reproducible way. But I'll tell you, going back to the very opening of the show when you played this song about I've got a song that gets on everybody's nerves, we find that repetition is a good way of making something annoying. So, for example, those delightful wind chimes outside your window that someone in your neighbor has put up, and they jingle, jingle, and they jingle, jingle, and they jingle, jingle. And for God, you know, can that not stop it? Finally, I have had the jingle, jingle all I need for today. Thank you very much, you know. Mm-hmm. So anything, which is a little scary, anything can become annoying in the wrong context.
Vicky in Columbus. Hi, Vicky, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
What bugs you?
What bugs me? It's when someone that I know, or, well, I don't even have to know them, but it's probably more people that I really know. I've had time to sit here and really think about this, that walks up to me, and the first thing they do hardly gets a hello out. They start picking a piece of lint off of me or a hair. And I'm like, what is this? If I have spinach between my teeth, that's fine. They can tell me. But I don't know. That just really, really bothers me. And is it worth even saying something to that person that does it like habitually?
I wonder, Joe, if maybe on the other side of that coin is the person that what bugs them is seeing lint on people, and that we're all sort of this kind.
How could you go out with all that lint over you? Oh my gosh!
No, it could be just a tiny. I mean, it's usually just something so tiny. I'm like, if they can see that, what else are they seeing? You know.
But is this more than one person, or do you have friends who in the haberdashery business who are particularly? Because I don't have anybody. I can't recall the last time someone picked a piece of lint off of me. But
it's
maybe they
women.
Just figure I'm so disheveled that there's no point.
No, it's women, and several are family members. Yeah.
So I think there's some other dynamic going on here. I'm getting the feeling that you're a reasonably kempt person and that a stray piece of lint being picked off is not something I would notice, but maybe somebody who knows you better and has his or her own set of issues.
Yeah, I'm wondering that too. The more I've had time to sit here and think about it, kind of analyze it too. Well, you were saying a while ago about... Sometimes the issue that we think people have with us is our issue, you know, of insecurity or whatever. Right. And I was wondering if that would play into it. I mean, I don't mind if someone points out something very discreetly that would just be, you know, very embarrassing to me. But a piece of lint or a hair hanging onto my sleeve, I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm really pleased that that idea resonates with you because, you know, it didn't come from a scientist. When I was thinking about who would be expert at knowing what makes someone or something annoying, I thought, okay, maybe screenwriters or playwrights who have to create annoying characters for, you know, the big screen. They must have gotten some very practical insights. And so I interviewed this screenwriter named Abby Cohn, who wrote a movie called He's Just Not That Into You.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
I asked her,
we started having this discussion, and she was the one that said, you know, I think it tells more about the character who is annoyed than the character who's being annoying. And she gave the example of not liking, she works with a writing partner, and she doesn't like it, Mark Silverstein, I'm still not sure.
Uh-huh.
I hope I got it right. Anyway, he looks over her shoulder, and that drives her crazy, not because it, you know, she doesn't mind him looking at her work, but because she doesn't want him to see the work that she's not sure she's proud of yet. She wants to wait till she's got the line that she wants perfectly.
Yes.
And I thought that's so interesting. It really is a practical insight into human nature.
Yeah.
And it came from a screenwriter. So I think they become, you know, sort of practicing psychologists whether they intend to be or not.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting.
Thank you, Vicky. Oops.
Yeah, thank you. This has been a very, very interesting conversation.
Good. Not too annoying, I hope.
No, I love it.
Take care.
Thank you.
And John, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Am I talking too long? John?
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Are you? I what annoys me is when people call me and want to talk an hour, and I think every cell phone conversation needs to be kept to 30 seconds.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
If you're talking about the cell phone.
Yeah, people do like to go on a bit, and again, that's one of those manners things. I think that people have different yardsticks for how much something's going to be annoying, depending on how where it sits in your set of personal standards of what's proper behavior or not.
Thanks a lot, John.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
Sounded a little like he was taking a shower while
well,
he was talking to
us. Speaking of cell phones, sometimes they don't come through very well.
I know.
Do the things that generally bug us, if there are a few things that bug everybody, you know, waiting in line bothers a lot of people, for example, and people who drive slow in the fast lane seems to bother a lot of people. But I was wondering how cultural these annoyances are.
Well, yeah, that turned into one of the more interesting revelations to me anyway, how different cultures have different sets of standards that lead to different kinds of annoyances. For example, if I ask you to look after my plants while I'm away for the weekend, and you're my neighbor, you might say, oh, sure, okay, Joe, no problem. And if I say, well, actually, I'm going to be away for a week. And you say, well, okay, I'll do it for a week. Actually, it's going to be 6 months. You go, what is wrong with this? That's so annoying. Why is he presuming on the friendship? Well, that's the Western style of, you know, of attitude, where we're all very individualistic. This is an oversimplification, but forgive me, it's for making a point. So we're all very individualistic, and we don't have a sense of community as much as some cultures. But there was an experiment where some Asian subjects were put in the same situation, and they would wait much longer. They would let a much longer period of time go by before they became annoyed by the request. In other words, where you and I might be annoyed after a week, they said, oh, sure, I'll look after your plants for a month or 2 months or 3 months. And the explanation was that there's this culture of collective consciousness, or a more of a community self, so that you're not an individual and, you know, go it alone kind of person, but you're a member of society and you have a responsibility to everyone else. And so that leads to very different sets of things that turn you off. And in a way, the explanation is, while Americans are annoying to be going around smiling at everyone, you know, hi, how are you doing? Because that's sort of our way of indicating that we're a good guy and we want to make friends. But in some Asian cultures, that's like, why is this person smiling at me? I have no idea who he is. Well, does he know something about me? Have I got lint on my lapel? And they're just laughing at me. I mean, it's the whole point of view that you bring with you that makes things very difficult. And it's hard until you learn the culture to know when you're being annoying.
Emails from a listener. Commercials that use scare tactics. Vultures in a funeral home commercial. That's kind of creepy. And from Charlotte, if it were up to me, every single dumpster in Columbus would have the following stencil in international orange: close the lid, your mother does not work here. And finally from John, he asks that by your attempt to define annoyance, can a person be annoyed at himself or herself?
Oh yeah. We didn't do a whole we thought about doing a whole chapter on Tiger Woods. Because you remember when he hits a bad golf shot, he would break the club. So presumably, not all the time, of course, but he would become extremely annoyed. And this is the most, I mean, it's not the most dangerous annoyance, but, you know, you're sort of stuck with yourself. There's a lot of, you know, if you don't like somebody talking on a cell phone, you can walk away. Or if you don't want to be waiting in a long line, you can just come back later. Or there's some things that you can escape, but you can't really escape yourself. And I was thinking that it really annoys me when I spill. I've got on a clean shirt today, and I've got to go out and give a talk tonight. And I really don't want to spill anything on my shirt before I have to give this talk. And I know, I mean, I'm almost certain that somehow or other I will spill something today on my shirt. And it really annoys me, and I know it's going to happen. And, you know, it's terrible, but there you go. I'm stuck with myself.
Don in Cincinnati, welcome to the show.
Well, you kind of second-guessed my statement before I was going to get it on. I was thinking mainly in the way of the Buddhists in, again, Asia. that are able to take a lot and don't seem to get annoyed to it, including burning themselves alive. Mm. And but that's kind of minor there. They don't all do that, but yeah. Just that they're trained to be disciplined and not allow themselves to feel pain or anger or anything else like that, unless it's important to them or something. I'm not a good Buddhist, but that they have a discipline about even not being annoyed. And I was wondering if you could speak to that.
Well, we were thinking about writing a chapter called "What Annoys the Dalai Lama."
Yeah.
And it didn't actually come to pass, but there was a story, I think, in New Yorker about the Dalai Lama being annoyed by a fly that was buzzing around his head during an interview. And so I think that the little things, I'm not a specialist in Buddhism, so I'm not going to go any too far into that. But if you train yourself to not be bothered by things in the world, I think it's probably bigger things than having a fly buzz around your eyes when you're trying to read. So maybe those little things, again, because of the nature of annoyance and it being such a small thing, that it's those little things that the bigger cultural or religious perspective overlooks. So you can be bothered by something that's too trivial to write a treatise about.
Thank you, Dom. Thanks for that call.
Just to speak to the Dalai Lama real quickly, he does wear that eye shade, so he should be able to get along without that eye shade that he always wears, too.
Let's see. There you go.
That might be a physiological problem.
Okay, well, I'll talk to you later.
Take care. We have run out of time. For those of you that have been waiting to speak on the air, I hope it doesn't annoy you that we weren't able to get to you. Same to all of our folks that emailed us. I appreciate your attention to the show, and thank you for listening. And Joe Palca, thanks for joining the show.
Well, it was a pleasure as opposed to an annoyance, I guess you'd say.
Well, same here. So thanks again, and I hope you don't spill anything today for your sake.
I'll be careful.
Okay, that's Joe Palca, NPR science correspondent and co-author of Annoying, The Science of What Bugs Us. Thanks for listening.